Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we wanna play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, oh so, my god, this guy's so gonna swing on Jim. Right. He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN.
We're learning a lot about each other.
I'm going to match your energy, and if you're going to bring false titles, I'll bring false titles.
They're not false. Your six are real. My four are real.
But they're old as hell.
So you can tell Rutledge that. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Amen.
Because I'm here for whatever. If you get food poisoning from a place, do you go back?
Like, for more food?
No, if you go back ever. Like, yeah. Like you get a bad burger from a place.
Give him a second chance, no.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside America's favorite Alex, Alex Gravatt, here's Jim Rutledge.
Big hire, as we were talking about the Detroit Lions earlier in the show, as far as replacing Ben Johnson. They hired former Stanford head coach David Shaw as their passing game coordinator. He's 52 years old. David Shaw has stepped aside of Stanford because he was just basically kind of said, I can't do the
recruitment,
the NIL stuff. Yeah. It's just too much. I don't want to do all of that. So now, I mean, he was being looked at as an offensive coordinator for some jobs. So the Lions getting him is honestly, you could call it a senior assistant. Giving him passing game coordinator is great, but what you're really doing is just giving him a guy that giving Dan Campbell another guy who has a good offensive mind. So I think our poll question, our first Siding Unlimited poll question, really is sliding heavily, in my opinion, towards Dan Campbell, asking who is better at hiring their assistant coaches, Dan Campbell or Matt LaFleur. And the thing with LaFleur, I'm not even saying he's not below average. I think he's league average at hiring. He has some misses, had some good hires, and he doesn't have a staff. Doesn't look like he has a staff that is the, like, Dan Campbell has two people hired as head coaches. We'll have to see what happens, but his staff is being rated. And so the other coaches, if your staff's not being rated, now Halfley could be one of those guys, but so far LaFleur doesn't have a tree. Dan Campbell's tree has started. It could die. So Dan Campbell right now is 82% people say he does a better job than LaFleur. I think LaFleur is league average. I think Dan Campbell is going to be above league average at replacing the coaches. Then we have a second Siding Limited poll question from our good friend Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. And this one's posted at Jim, Matt, and Molly. Basically, which member of the team's big three is best at their job? Is it Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, or Goody? Right now, it's 47% Goody, 44% LaFleur, 9% Jordan Love.
Okay, you want to talk about being good at your job. Matt LaFleur came in and has survived a changing of era at quarterback. He has won as many games as anybody in the first however many games it was. It was like 60-some, tied with Stefanski, or not Stefanski.
Nick Sirianni.
Sirianni. And he's done it with very few people on offense who are flashy game breakers. He looks really good. Is he a perfect head coach? Absolutely not. Are there times where I think he calls the wrong play? Do I think maybe he's not putting Jordan Love in the absolute premier spot? Sure. I do believe that the two of them can do it. We're talking about the guy who paid David Bakhtiari in Gutekunst, who paid the left end, Jair Alexander, and
Rashawn Gary.
And Rashawn Gary. And like, those
and
guys.
Drafted Stokes.
Exactly.
And drafted Walker and drafted other players. Who
all
were not,
these Georgia guys who never panned out, and now Lucas Van Ness. He's good, but like, if we want to talk about it, like, if we have an A, a B, and a C to give out, I'm giving Goody the C. It's average. He's been fine. He's kept the team afloat and put us in a position to continuously compete, give a few chomps at the apple, but like,
you putting Jordan Love in front of Goody is insane.
No, it's not.
All right.
Like, what? He brought in Jordan Love. So if Jordan Love is the worst of it, and that's his best thing, then No, it's not that impressive.
He also drafted Jaden Reed and Edgerrin Cooper and Javon Bullard and also Evan Williams just this past year. Signed Za'Darius Smith the first time around. He makes a lot of good
Josh
moves.
Josh Jacobs, David McKinney. Like
those two, and then the Za'Darius Smith, which ended up being a nightmare anyway, don't forget.
Towards the end, but the first 2 years were pretty dang good.
And TJ from the road chimes in, I guess on your point on Goody, we could ask this question. Off the top of my head, I actually don't know who the Lions GM is, but TJ from the road says, not one of your questions, but the Lions crushed Green Bay in drafting.
That's Brad Holmes is the Lions GM.
In drafting, so did the Eagles. The Eagles have completely rebuilt a franchise in the same
basically
time.
Basically, the Packers had a nice offseason. The Eagles had a elite offseason, and that's why one of them's in the Super Bowl and one of them's not.
Exactly. And so,
including hiring coaches, though.
Am I going to say? And Matt
Vic
LaFleur's
Fangio
been,
was a better hire than... Now, Vic Fangio wasn't coming to Green Bay, but that was a better hire than Halfley.
Sure.
Sure. Like, Fangio's going to the Hall of Fame. He's amazing.
Yes,
Halfley had one good season, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way.
I expect more good. I mean, it seems like things have been going his way. He's dealt with a terrible pass rush, which is partially on him, right? He needs to get more out of those guys. But also, he doesn't have the dogs. And you know who's in charge of the dogs? Goody.
Your Jordan Love part is the... Like, if you want to talk
Jordan
to me about
Jordan... Jordan Love's the B. He's fine. He's the second best of the three.
He's third best of the three. Like, that should be pretty unanimous. If you want to argue about LaFleur or Goody, Prime, you can chime in 844-770-3776. Carbless talking text line list is more. Basically asking you over the big three, who's the best at their job? Goody, LaFleur, or Love? I'll hear Goody or LaFleur go back and forth. Love is not number one.
No.
And I don't think he's number two. Like, to me, Love's three. Easy.
Prime? I would put Matt LaFleur. I think people are a little too critical of him. I'd say he's like, if we're doing giving out an ABC, I'm giving Matt LaFleur the A. He's an A minus. If I'm giving out the B, I think Goody's a B. He's a B plus. I think the only thing that holds him back from being an A, in my opinion, is just first round draft picks haven't been good enough.
And the guys who he signed hasn't been good enough.
Extended.
Those contracts.
He extended David Bakhtiari, that was like 2 weeks before he tore his ACL and then basically never played football again.
Not even. That was tough.
Yeah, that's not his fault, though. Like, when you're judging it in retrospect, yeah, it's a terrible signing. But at the moment, it made complete sense. It made all the sense in the world.
Yeah, Bakhtiari, as much as I don't like Bakhtiari, that signing made a ton of sense.
Was he also part of the Devontae Adams bungle? I believe he was.
Well, that was also, that's part of the Aaron Rodgers stink. He had to work around that.
And he had Aaron Rodgers, which, again, we got it.
But then you also assess Matt LaFleur for that. For not winning with Aaron Rodgers in that case. Because, I mean, he's the one who kicked the field goal while down 8 against the Buccaneers.
That is his biggest
For sure. And that's why I think I would probably say he's still A-. I think he's a great, like Jim said, schemer of plays. But he has some drawbacks in, like, in-game management. And sometimes I wonder about if his teams get up enough. But I think he's really, really good at what he does well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Goody, I think, is high-level B. Jordan Love, yeah, I'd have to give, like, a C-plus so far. We don't have enough to truly say he's a B even at this point. He has the money because... It was the timing you had to pay it.
I have CBS Sports just to start the year. I mean, Goody and LaFleur. Matt LaFleur to start the year, fifth best coach. I would say that Matt LaFleur this year is a top 10 coach, and Jordan Love is not a top 10 QB. So Jordan Love is not the answer as best at the
job. Would you say Goody?
So you think that they need to move on from
No.
You just said he's not the answer.
Not the answer for this question.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the best either. I mean, you don't have like a prolific generational talent. There are three of them, four of them in the league right now.
He's not top 10. Jordan Love's not top 10 QB, and Matt LaFleur is a top 10 coach. That's the end of the discussion. So Jordan Love is the worst out of this job out of those three, without a question.
And you think that Goody is for sure a top 10 GM?
Yes. Yes.
Just the fact that he's been around this long shows that he's probably pretty dang good at his job.
But again, the Packers aren't going to move on from him.
I think he's outstanding. I just think he is above league average.
I think he is.
I think he's above league average, too. That doesn't mean he's inherently top 10.
I think if you're above league average is 16.
Right.
So then if you're above average, then okay, then he's probably very close to top 10.
And then here's the other thing. You can't put the Commanders GM in front of him. He did it for a year. So, and then you just take the playoff teams. Like, he had the team in the playoffs 2 years in a row. So if you just eliminated teams that have not been in the playoffs 2 years in a row, and, like, that would be one way to do it, of, like, trying to line him up. And then also you can't do the one-and-done sort of types as well, like Washington this year. Maybe he gets passed, but you can't put the Washington GM in front of him. You could put, obviously, Philly, is it Roseman? Like, obviously.
Howie Roseman.
Yeah, like, that's, he's elite. And they're obviously the Chiefs.
Baltimore's GM.
Yeah.
I think John Lynch, 49ers GM.
Honestly, I would just look at the playoff picture and then over the last 2 years, put those GMs in a ranking and then pull out any one-timers.
Okay.
Like the one-offs.
I'm
not putting a Texans GM there.
I don't know.
Maybe
name. I don't know him off the top of my head.
Like they brought in Joe Mixon. They brought in the quarterback CJ Stroud. Like they've done a lot too.
Yeah,
down there.
Well, that's because the Bears messed up and took Caleb Williams. They got lucky.
True.
Well, that wouldn't have been the case though.
What?
The Bears traded out of it, and there was Bryce Young and CJ Stroud.
Well, they could have, if they believed in CJ Stroud enough, they could have drafted him.
Okay, but that's not a direct comp. Like, that's
is there
a big
anything? Is there anything that Jordan Love can
Packers
do?
Packers could add Jalen Hurts and T. Higgins.
That's true, and that's I don't know how much better Jordan Love. I don't know how much better Hurts would be in Green Bay right now than Jordan Love is.
A running offense.
You'd have to QB? Gear. You have to, if you gear the entire offense around Jalen Hurts, you'd have to. It'd be a very different team.
Also, he'd be throwing to Malik Heath.
That's a good point.
And Jaden Reed,
if Goody's a good GM, then he builds it. Again, Howie Roseman built the team around what Jalen Hurts does.
Exactly. You said if he were a good – like other guys who are better.
Goody is trying to build a team. He also – again, I hate to have to sit here and defend him. He had to gut this team and get out the cancer that was Aaron Rodgers in that massive contract. And get out for Bakhtiari's dead contract. Like, there's so much
He just – ate most of it.
But you still had to figure out how to spread that out, and that's an unfortunate injury thing. Like, you had to – getting rid of Aaron Rodgers and moving off of that and staying and actually getting better the next year is a pretty remarkable bump up. Like, that's not easy to do. And I hate throwing flowers at Goody's feet, but, again, the case – I think Goody and LaFleur are pretty easy. The answer is Jordan Love is clearly third in this. That's my whole point. That's my whole point.
I think clearly it's third. Clearly one. Matt LaFleur is alone at the top, and then you've got a B minus and C plus.
Dude, you're insane. Jordan Love is maybe top, 13th quarterback?
He can catch moments of just greatness. He looks fine. He's athletically has all of the stuff.
These are all ifs. These are all ifs. This is a lot of QBs.
He's thrown for 4,000 yards in his career. That's something that a bunch of guys haven't done. He's looked great for stretches.
So, great, Jordan.
He's orchestrated 11 win teams.
More than 4,000 yards more times than he hasn't in his career. He's thrown. He's won a division 2 years in a row. He won the division in Los Angeles, and he's gone to a Super Bowl and gone to 2 NFC Championship games.
He's been to more than that, including his time with the Rams. He's a good quarterback.
Jordan Love is a fine player right now. He is a good quarterback. He is not a top 10, probably 12th best quarterback in the league.
All right.
And I get you, if you did a trade thing right now, his trade value is even lower than that. He's probably 15th. Because of his contract.
Because of his contract, sure.
Because the Patriots are taking Drake May over Jordan Love. The
Patriots taking Drake May over Jordan Love is...
They're doing it. I promise
you. Yeah, because the GM thinks he's him.
He's also got more Pro Bowls than Jordan Love. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton is Madison's custom jeweler. They are Madison's family-owned jeweler. Check out Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton. Whether it's custom jewelry, engagement ring, diamond ring, wedding bands, any of these sorts of things, all of it is at Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton. He's Alex G. I am Jim Rutledge. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, G, you know what to do.
And that's Crush, a Coors Light.
Prime time, war shine behind the glass. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube page, and you can chime in at ESPN Madison and at Jim, Matt, and Molly. But we're going to throw some stones.
1, 2, 3,
Some takes are cooler than others.
You know this kid is as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Some opinions are just cooler than the rest.
Now what's cooler than being cool? Ice cold!
And if you keep it chill, then it's a cold take.
Chill out.
I'm chill. I'm chill as a cucumber, man.
I'm always the coldest.
This is Throwing Stones, presented by Metro Kia of Madison, Madison's chillest Kia dealership.
All right, guys, who's got a stone for us today?
I've got a big stone.
Oh, Alex G, did you get it at the dry cleaner?
No, yeah, just with next to the Oreos, between the Oreos and the detergent.
That sounds like the Oreos, yeah, honestly.
Listen, man, and this is, I love and respect you, Ryan. But
okay.
But what are we doing, man? How are you? You stole my drink, my beverage from the work fridge. Just blindly, and this is not the first time it's happened. I don't understand how anyone can walk into an office fridge, look in there, and be like, ah, yes, something I didn't bring from home. Perfect. We're adults, man. You have a full-time job. I know that you have these bubblers at home.
Yeah, just say the word. Say what they are.
Bubblers. They're my caffeinated little beverage, my pick-me-up for 2 o'clock.
Your little beverage.
Yeah. They come in a smaller can than you know, a large, I don't know.
So you're making a big stone out of a little beverage?
Yeah.
This is utterly preposterous that I've even heard that.
Listen, Jim, I mean, you have your own fridge, effectively. You've got this little fridge over
here.
We've
got a Coors Light fridge, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Unfortunately, people ruined it for us, not here in Madison. We can't keep Coors Light anymore. But.
So can I point out the fact that also I want to bring up some of the
so you can tell Rutledge that
some of the best hockeys
Amen.
We have of Barry Alvarez.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Responding to what Jim Rutledge supposedly said based off the way Alex G presented it to him the one time. Because once again, Alex G misrepresenting a story.
Okay.
Because you're saying I just walk in and I see, oh, there's all these things in this fridge. They're all for me. I know they're my teammates, but I just went in and just took one.
Yes.
That's not even remotely what happened, G.
Okay, but is this the first time this has happened?
G, you had your time to talk. Now it's mine. What happened was we all bring bubblers to the office because bubblers are an incredibly popular, great caffeinated drink that we all enjoy.
Yeah.
Thus, we all put them in the fridge, and oftentimes, many of the same flavors end up in the fridge. And who knows? Sometimes the flavors are sometimes indiscernible from each other when they're next to each other. Because
are you colorblind?
The colors of the flavors are like light red and pink. And yes, I grabbed yours by accident because we both set ours on the fridge door. And you're going to make such a big deal about it. You're going to misrepresent me on the air to all of Madison because I took the wrong drink and you had to drink mango elixir instead of twisted berry. I'm sorry.
Butchering the names. You clearly don't pay attention to your bubbler. I'm sorry that you're not a connoisseur. I am. I love this beverage. And so I bring in one in particular because I buy that one. I like that one. It's clear that you don't know and you're just grabbing randomly how you get through an entire can without ever noticing, oh, dang, that's not mine. I don't know. But whatever.
Did you put your name on it?
No, I didn't put my name on it. I didn't know I had to. I thought that this was, you know, there's 6 people in the office. There were 3 yesterday for most of the day. And somehow it's, you know, it's gone. And if this were a one-off scenario, I would maybe be cool, chill. I'm not a cool cucumber. All right?
Cool.
This is not the first time it's happened. It's happened multiple times. And I just don't understand how anyone can walk in and, like, not consider what they brought.
To Ryan's defense, we have at times had a ridiculous amount of that drink here.
Last
in general.
Football season, 2023-24.
Anyways, you know, I won't drink it. We do. My actually fridge related stone is
Coors Light fridge.
Yeah, the Coors Light fridge. The Jim, Matt, and Molly Rutledge Hamilton fridge. We've so generously put it out there, and I was pretty clear that I said this is a beverage fridge because I don't know why, it's just an ick for me. I don't like food in the beverage fridge. Like, it's not a fridge for your lunch you brought in. It's not a fridge for your yogurt. It's not a fridge for your leftovers. It's not what that is. We have a fridge in the break room or whatever we call that area, the storage room.
Say.
It is a big fridge. That's where all of that goes. This fridge is just for beverages, right? We cannot have Coors Light anymore in the ESPN Madison studio because people in other offices ruined that for us. So we still have it loaded up with some sodas. And Ryan, I will say this. Everything in that fridge, at least for now, is fair game. I stocked it. There are some iced coffee drinks that I was the only one that could drink them at the house, and my wife's kind of out on them now. And so I wouldn't say they're bad. They're like the Kirkland Farm iced coffee. There's just a lot of them, and I'm kind of over them. So I put those in there. You can have those, and there's plenty of other soda products in there. Those are all free range in there. But that yogurt, whoever that is, that's getting put in the big fridge.
Who puts yogurt? Who brings yogurt?
It's Pablo. And Pablo, I don't think...
Pablo uses it to put full on blast. Pablo's the one who's putting his lunch in there. Pablo, walk the 10 extra feet to the fridge, the big fridge.
I think he might have been started here after you made this declaration. I'm not sure if he was here for that day.
There was a blow-up.
Also, there
in
is
October.
No sign. Oh,
there was a blow-up.
There's a blow-up?
Yeah. There was a blow-up in the office about the fridge.
Okay,
the
I might have been working out of our Milwaukee office that day.
A blow-up?
Okay, maybe not a blow-up, but maybe a hand grenade.
I don't know why. It just bothers me.
That is an interesting.
Do it, I would throw his food away. Because in here, I told him, I'm like, don't put your leftovers in there. That's not what it's there for. And if he did, I'd throw them in the trash.
It's a really interesting line to walk. I've never once worried about, like, my cans, like, the can is protecting the beverage entirely.
Yeah, it's just off-putting. Like, it's a beverage. Like, also,
so
if you put
food?
If you,
is it food or drinks?
It's food.
Okay.
But also, they're putting their whole lunchbox in there. That's not a big fridge.
No, it's a very small fridge.
So now you're just eating up all the space. You basically made it your own personal fridge. You bring in stuff, put it in a bigger fridge. We had to fight to get that fridge. So go put it in that
fought.
Fridge. We did. At the old office, back in my day, at the old office on the square,
back
we actually had a...
That's what this
and
is.
And really,
that's what
I think
about.
Every other office, or at least I know Milwaukee office has two, like real refrigerators, like real size refrigerators.
You got four.
We had one at the old office. We didn't bring it here. And honestly, for a hot minute, they're like, you guys don't need a fridge. You can keep stuff like on the third floor. Insane sort of logic there. So we're able to get like a mini, it's like a, what do we call it? Like a quarter
fridge? It's a
fridge?
Three quarter fridge.
It's
yeah.
a beer fridge.
Yeah. That's the mini fridge that I would love to have had in college, right? That
100%.
That fits, you know, three or four 30 racks
you
and then pizzas in the freezer.
No,
you could add so many bubblers
on
in
this.
There.
I will say this. Stop talking about that drink. I got a fridge full, thanks to my friends at, Coors Light. I got a fridge full of Coors Light. Filled it up yesterday. Mountains are blue. And I have a big, it's not quite as big as the fridge here, but it's a big beer cooler type fridge. It's got the glass, a little blue light behind it so you can see the blue mountains. And I even have a Wisconsin chill sign above it too. So I'm looking forward to going home and enjoying
what
that.
What happened?
Light.
We had a Scalzo and Brust fridge at one point. We had like a branded Scalzo and Brust fridge.
Probably. Threw that out the window. It's trash.
It's not. It didn't make its way to Greg's basement.
It was a bad beer that was on that fridge. It was gross beer.
Yeah.
Nobody liked that.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
We took their spot and we took their fridge. Threw it.
Bye. Yeah.
You think Ben Brust probably still uses it? He uses it like for his actual food each day. He probably has that in the Milwaukee office. And he's like, nobody else uses this. This is
my fridge. Yeah,
I can only see that. My fridge.
I'm gonna bring in my own fridge so I don't have to worry about my bubbler drinks.
Just bring in your own cooler every day.
Perfect.
Your own personal cooler. You know how weird that would be?
No, I want like one of those. I've seen them. It's like a personal fridge. They're not very like they're small. Like they're like. I don't know, 12 by, like, they're not super big.
A person, like, you plug this in?
Yeah, and, like, you basically could keep your lunch in it, but it's, like, a cooler.
It's not much bigger than what you have
no,
for
like,
the beverage.
No, like, I've seen one smaller than that is my point, isn't it? Like,
The only argument I can think of for that is if you have, like, severe food allergies where your food can't be near other people's. Otherwise, there's no reason.
I really don't want my food. If I have food that I brought from, I don't want touching other people's food.
Enough to bring your own fridge to work.
So no, that's why I don't bring food to work.
I was about to say, have you ever used that fridge? The big one?
I feel like, and this is
the most type A I've ever seen you.
Well, this
so
is,
you can tell Rutledge that.
I honestly feel ridiculous and like a big dork bringing lunch. My wife gets mad at me. Like
absolutely
I won't bring, I hate bringing lunch here. If I do, I only bring it in the actual container, like the Pyrex or whatever,
yeah.
And I eat it right away because I don't want to put it in the fridge. I don't want it mixing, commingling with other people's stuff. And then two, I already feel like a big loser bringing my lunch in the first place, so like I don't do it. Like,
what? Well, there's nothing lame
why
about
are you bringing.
You have to
I'm
eat.
Not,
Jim.
I'm not saying it's lame. I'm
no,
saying
no,
it,
you,
I, it's
say,
a, it's an ick. Like it's my own weird mental. I can't do it, especially with like a bag, like the lunch bag and the whole thing. I just can't. I can't. I just feel like I'm eight. I'm going back to the middle school here. I just can't do it. I'm in the wrong.
Exposure therapy. I want to see you bring in a lunchbox someday
no.
soon.
No. I won't. It won't happen.
No.
Nope. It's a me problem. The normal thing to do is to bring in lunch in a lunchbox.
Judgmental Jim.
At least that, you know, like, at least he's admitting that.
And
that
I'm not
like,
judging you for doing it. I just can't do it. Like, I don't see people with a lunchbox be like, loser. I just, when I see myself in the mirror with a lunchbox, I think, loser.
Jim sees other people with a lunchbox and he's like, if that was me, I'd think they suck.
Honestly, here's what I think. I just want to knock it on the ground and push you in a locker. Like, that's basically...
So like in, all right, in middle school,
getting a swirly.
Middle school, high school, did you like never bring lunch to school? Was that a thing for you?
Yeah, because like we had like the you could
hot
get
lunch.
Yeah, but you get like a
nicer pizza or like you could get decent food. You don't have to have lunch line food.
The Cedarburg lunches, yeah.
Yeah, where
straight from the dry cleaner.
Yeah,
straight from the dry cleaner, baby. Oreos for days.
Like from Cedarburg to Boca, so whether it's college or whatever, like we had a nice cafeteria. Like, you know. We're not getting your dry cleaner cookies. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. There's no dry cleaner cookies.
Farm to table, fresh foods at Cedarburg High School, apparently.
They probably have it now. All right, go be a winner. Go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. That's where winners go. Coming up next, we have Anders Lindwall from the Green and Gold movie. He's the director. That's coming up next on Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
Hey, this is Matt's Chicago doppelganger. You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN Madison.
This ain't a diss song, but yeah, you know what it is. I'm a cheesehead, got cheese whiz. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Alex G getting all excited right now.
I love this song. This came out when the Packers won the Super Bowl, and I was in middle school. I mean, I was lit.
He's Alex G. I am Jim Rutledge. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light. The mountains are blue. You know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
We are live in the Everlight Solar Studio. I could use a Coors Light. Instead, I'll just drink some water, Prime. You're the problem. Primetime Laura Sean behind the glass. And we are thrilled to be joined by the director of a pretty exciting movie, a much hyped movie in the Wisconsin area, coming out nationwide tomorrow. And you can learn more at greenandgoldmovie.com. But we're joined by Anders Lindwall. Anders, thank you so much for taking the time as your movie is gaining traction and gaining notoriety and winning some awards. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Howdy. Yeah, no, so stoked to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
So I guess the first question I'll ask, and then, G, you're the big Packer fan here, so you can dig a little bit deeper, but what made you pick this topic, and what was the connection for you? Why did you want to tell this story?
Yeah, my brother and I, we grew up in the UP, so just north of Wisconsin. So yeah. This is our home turf, and, you know, 2 hours north of Green Bay. And yeah, our grandfather was a dairy farmer, and we love it up north there. We love it so much, and grew up as just diehard Packers fans. And so, you know, we, as independent filmmakers, you're just always looking for a story that resonates close to home as you can possibly get. So, you know, we couldn't believe there hadn't been, you know, like a Packers type movie specifically with their fans, or about their fans really ever on the, you know, on kind of like a real large Hollywood scale. So that we got excited thinking about being able to try to get into that world and tell a story that has a lot of meaning to us and is about the people that we grew up around and love. So.
Right. And so as you started to like think about it, obviously this is based on a true story, but where did you find the inspiration to, you know, really dig into the Green Bay Packers and their relationship with these farmers?
Yeah. So it's inspired by true events. I should clarify. So there's no farmer that necessarily made the exact bet on the Green Bay Packers, yeah. but you know, it is inspired by the true events of loss of small farms in America. It is based on a literal season in the 90s that we're trying to keep a little bit under wraps for spoiler alert stuff. But but yeah, I think I forget your original question about it, but just I think, yeah, maybe can you remind me?
Oh, yeah. It was just where did you pull the inspiration and like how did this come to be?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think for anybody who grows up as a Packers fan, I think it's just like, you know, that type of community, that type of crowd that exists up there is so unique. And I think it gets misrepresented whenever it is in media that when we've seen it played. So, you know, some of that upper Midwest is kind of this hokey and everybody's got a real thick accent and that kind of thing. And it's like, the people that I grew up around, I mean, there's certainly some accents here and there, but it's, you just have such a depth and a richness. And, you know, with the Packers being the only community owned sports franchise in America, it's like that is such a like a meta narrative that needs to be told. That's such a beautiful, beautiful picture of what a representation of that area. So.
And you grew up in the UP. Were you in a split like county area where it was like more Packers fans or Lions fans? How was that?
Totally. Yeah. You know, cause we're right on the border of Wisconsin. I tend to think it was probably like 70% Packer fans in our town anyways, but you know, there was definitely some Lions representation. And I think I've been told it's actually, depending on what county you were in, was you would get different broadcasts. Back when I was a kid, I don't remember, we were only fed Packers games. So I think I think some counties north of us, you know, they're on also Eastern time zone. They were fed the Lions games. And so I think that was sort of how it was split.
Talking with Anders Lindwall, the director of Green and Gold, of the Green and Gold movie, and one of the names, and you know, I grew up in Wisconsin. I watched this show, I think it was called Coach, with Craig T. Nelson, and I just think there is a little bit of kismet or whatever, that tie-in. Obviously, he's a farmer in this movie, but having him, who played a Minnesota coach forever, with this tie to the movie for the Packers, was this, how did you get him? What was the excitement? How was he to work with? Because obviously, he's a pretty legendary, I mean, Parenthood, the TV show as well, and Coach are two of the most famous things he's done, but he's got a long and pretty impressive IMDb.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you have Coach who's doing who's doing a movie about the Green Bay Packers, you know, it's kind of, it is a nice, there's something really sweet about it. I have one of my dreams, and I haven't been able to actualize it because, you know, the Packers were playing, but as our marketing, I was like, I would love to get LaFleur, have it like Coach and Coach sit down and talk about the overlap of arts and athletics. And but yeah, I think, you know, he was the best, and we wanted him from the beginning. You know, he is a sports nut too, so he understood. That was one of the things he said right away. He's like, actually knew like some of the old Packers players back, you know, I don't, whenever it was 60 years ago. So he's a sports nut. So he understood that part of the character, because it's a character who, you know, the character is this old Luddite farmer who wishes it was the 1800s almost. But if he could keep the Green Bay Packers as a part of it, that's what he would. You know, he names his cows after the 68 championship team. He's just obsessed with the Packers. And so, Craig was the perfect fit because he's just, you know, he's been around forever. He's kind of this old school guy, but also understands the spiritual connection to athletics. So
absolutely. And you got to work with, like, film at Lambeau. Is that correct?
We filmed outside of Lambeau. At that point, we didn't have a full partnership with the Packers, and we were a little scared of being totally sued by the NFL and the Packers. Or, you know, it was like, we didn't know what we're doing. You know, we're trying to figure this out. So we didn't want to stir up any pot that we couldn't handle. It was like a tailgate scene that's outside, but you see Lambeau in the background. And but my dream, if I had the partnership with the Packers we have now, it would be like reshoot that scene with like the perfect Packers Bears game, bitter cold, steam coming out of the urinals, that kind of thing. So.
that's a fantastic thing to remember. The steam coming out of the urinals. Back when they were the trough urinals too.
Yeah, those dazzling
details.
That's what I'm
saying. Absolutely. The trough.
So you have a good relationship with the Packers now. How important were they in all of this? I mean, just how was it working with them?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it took forever because, you know, to be fair to them, it's like they're just trying to win championships. That's their focus, right? And then we're this random independent movie who would like knock on their door and be like, hello. You know, we were, it was originally called God Loves the Green Bay Packers. And that was one thing that they were, their lawyer was like, I really don't like that, you guys. Could you change that? And I was like, definitely. I would definitely love to change that. And because we, you know, it was like the spirit of the film is so integrated to the Packers organization. It was just it took a while to like find the right person in the midst of their busyness and their chaos. And me, this like independent filmmaker, just knocking on their door enough times for them to kind of see like, oh, yeah, we could see how this would actually be a really great thing to be a part of. And once they saw it in the right lens and had the right view of it and we could work out the right partnership. They've been just so awesome. Specifically, their corporate partnership team is unreal. Like, bend over backwards to do whatever they can to help us get the word out. And, you know, we rallied a red carpet event there at Lambeau. And I think for them, they just, it was like all hands on deck helping us move chairs. And it was awesome. So.
And then
we're forever indebted.
I mean, that sounds awesome. But do you have to be a Packers fan to like this movie?
I don't think so. I mean, I grew up as a University of Michigan fan, and I love the movie Rudy.
Okay. All right, and, all right.
You know, it was like I think I can appreciate all sports. And maybe the younger kids will have a harder time with it. I feel like when I was younger, maybe it was harder to get on board with some of that stuff or get over your ego. But I think, you know, we take the Nick out of the Bears a little bit here and there, but it's pretty small, and we avoid the Lions altogether. I think that's a good thing this year because it's probably pretty raw from everything. So, but I, you know, in general, I do think it's not. I think Packers fans, it's kind of, it's like your home video. I think for other people, it's like they can still be in the room and enjoy it and appreciate because it's really a family story. It's a story about farming and the beauty of community.
Talking with Anders Lindwall, the director of Green and Gold Movie. It is at the AMC and the Marcus starting tomorrow, so you can go see that in the Madison area. You're just reading the IMDb, because we don't give away too much, but a struggling family farmer wages everything on a high-stakes championship bet while his granddaughter's musical ambitions could be their ticket to a new beginning. And I want to ask about the radio host and role in there, and I know Charlie a little bit, and but I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask though. What about Brian's song? Because I'm a Bears fan. I'm gonna watch this because I grew up in Wisconsin, so I feel like the Wisconsin ties. And as much as like I don't root for the Packers, I know the lore and I know the history, so it's gonna intrigue me on that level. But you know, you mentioned what about Brian's song? That's one that's very Bears centric. Is that one that you've seen, the old TV movie?
I haven't. I don't know that one, actually.
Oh, really? Wow. So it's it's based off a book, I Am Third, from Gail Sayers, about him and his best friend, a fullback for the Chicago Bears, Brian Piccolo. It starred James Caan and Billy Dee Williams back in the 70s. That's the one you want to see, not the more modern one. And it's the true life story about Brian Piccolo, a fullback for the Bears, who passes away from, I think, leukemia like during the season. And so it's there. Wow. Basically, it's there. Same idea, though, that you said this is about family and friendship and all. That's about, obviously, the Bears is part of it, but it's very much about the human side of things. So, well, now, see, I get the recommendation from you to see your movie, and I'll throw one out to you.
It's throw them back.
Yeah, from the 70s.
I'm such a bad director. I've seen so few movies.
Director. It's all fresh then to you. But I saw that the role here, it says Charlie Barron's radio host. So without giving away the movie, what's that kind of role, and what was the drive to have that character in there, and how do you like move the story and everything?
Yeah, totally. So we grew up, our town had a little radio show called Telephone Time that was on Monday through Saturday, like 8 a.m. till I think 11 or 12, and it was just people calling in to chat, to talk about things, to buy, sell stuff. Yeah. And it was just always so, like, it's still going on, it's not, that hasn't stopped, and it's just such a lovely just again, like a representation of the area and a way to talk about what's going on. And I guess it's hard. I can't go into too much of it for spoiler stuff, but it plays a really big role. And you know, specifically farmers always have their radios on in their barns. If you've ever been inside like a dairy, they're always milking and their radio's just blaring. And so kind of having this voice of like this radio who's there the whole time in the whole film, it was like, who do we want for that role? And who other than Charlie Barron's?
No, that was a perfect pick for it. Fans will recognize it. But also, you hit a home run with that idea, just from like hearing you describe it. So our company's Good Karma Brands, and we started actually in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And the stations we have, like, they have the polka show, the farm report show. They have shows with Lost and Found, and people have been like, I lost my cat. They're like, oh, I saw a cat on this street. Like, they're still doing that. We still own that station. That still happens in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, which is about an hour north of Madison. Amazing. So, like, you hit a home run on that, because that's exactly a thing that is still going on. And obviously that station's been around for 60, 70, 80, maybe 100 years. So long before we bought it. So that idea to put that in there was obviously, I think, a great, great device to kind of move the story along, because it's still a thing, a big thing.
Yeah, and it's such a cool, I don't know, it's like, it's, there's something about radio, I mean, maybe I'm preaching to the choir here, but it's like you pay attention to it differently when you only have, that's your only sense that's taking it in, versus like, you know, news on the TV or kind of thing. There's something really special about it, so
Yeah, we call it personal, intimate. It's your people you, like, as someone who grew up listening to radio, I feel like I know people that I listen to on the radio. And we run into it now when people come talk to us. So, yeah, no, totally get that aspect of it. So, again, this is coming out tomorrow. And, again, I do see it's at the Marcus and the AMC in the Madison area. What else would you let our fans know about this movie before we let you go here?
Yeah, that's like, I mean, there's so much, you know, like for us, this has been like our last 5 years of grinding every single day on it. You know, I think that's, it's a medium that's underappreciated, maybe like all things, you know. It's like, but we've slaved over this thing trying to make it authentic as we can, and hopefully it's, yeah, kind of a love letter to this area. That's maybe, we keep saying that, that's that I hope people can watch it and feel nostalgia for it. And, you know, a lot of our friends who've screened it, you know, that lived in Los Angeles and they've helped on the project, they're like, man, this makes me want to move back. And yeah. So maybe it can help boost tourism and boost the state of Wisconsin. But I think just, you know, ultimately just give people a renewed sense of hope and goodness in the world that I think is just rich and ripe in that culture up there. Come check it out. Support it in theaters. Maybe that's one of the other things is, you know, we're an independent, tiny independent film that got 1,000 screens, and we're up into Canada now too.
Nice.
It's like crazy how it happened. And we're competing against, you know, just mega, you know, minimum $25 to $30 million movies. And so we're like slugging it out with those guys in the theaters for, I think we're like 4 to 7 days is how much we're guaranteed. And then they re-up after that if we're performing well. So as fast as you can get to a theater, that I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, so we'll throw that out there again. Marcus Point in Madison and in Sun Prairie and the AMC in Fitchburg all have showtimes for it. And that all starts tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Thanks so much for your time, man. I have one question for you, though, before we let you go. So you grew up in a small town too. Did you have, I was talking about this earlier, this, and yeah, I was getting a lot of flack. I would get Oreos every time I went to the dry cleaner with my parents. Did you have anything like that?
Where like unwrapped,
completely random food at an entirely unrelated spot?
I'm trying to think if it probably did, and I just like don't, I don't have it in my head.
Most of us don't have that story. I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin. I was not just handed random
food. But like there's also a local restaurant that would just give fudgesicles to kids as they walked by. I mean, like small town community stuff.
There's random stuff like that. I remember going in recently to get like a shot. Like I had to get like a booster or some kind of flu shot.
Sure.
And they just like walked out in the middle of the store in the aisles. And they're like, well, is this good? You want it here? I thought we'd go into like a room somewhere and do this. they're like, no. I was like, okay, we'll just, yeah, thanks. You know, that kind of thing. So, man, there's so many things that I just love it so much. It feels like small towns feel like the final frontier of America to me.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great way to describe it. Anders, thanks so much. And good luck. Hopefully people show up. They keep in theaters even longer.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for helping us get the word out and having me on here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. That's Anders Lindwall, Green and Gold movie. He's the director. It comes out tomorrow. Again, the Marcus and the AMC theaters are two places you can see it in the Madison area. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.
You missed any of today's show? Yeah. You can watch back at ESPN Madison's YouTube. This is back Wisconsin The Man, Apple, Spotify, and those great places, including our interview with Green and Gold movie director Anders Lindwall. I'm Jim Rutledge. He is Alex G. Primetime Lorshine behind the glass. Alex, you told me as we were coming back from break there that you've been invited to go polar plunging tomorrow.
Yeah, I've never polar plunged before, and my girlfriend and her friends, they're going to go at 7 a.m. before work in the river.
For like a cause or just to do it?
Nah, just cause. And I really want to go, but also then I'm going to have to come back and shower and the coldness is going to stink. I don't know. It seems like it's a...
And the river water is going to stink.
That's the real thing. It's going to stink, like actually.
He survived dry cleaner Oreos. He'll survive the river.
True. Would you go polar? I don't see the appeal.
I mean, if it's for a cause, I get it.
That's different, yeah, I guess, but like...
I guess if it's just to do it...
So neither of you have done it.
I'm not TJ Watt. Like, I'm not doing it for like athletics to like help
also,
my
like,
body.
Ryan's like a skin and bones.
Yeah,
like,
I would die.
I have seen that man in the gym. Do not sell him short. He grinds, all right?
I'm not saying he's not strong, but like I have friends like... I have a friend in my school built the same way Ryan is. Like, they're wiry strong, but they still are. Like, there's not insulation.
Yeah. Are you saying I have insulation?
No, I'm saying I have insulation, even though I work at a Carbon World Health. Just do the cryo instead. This has been Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.